แล้วจังคอยฟังโอ้ยละนาSomebody, lady and gentleman, the boy and the girl, I so sing song bong fire
Good evening and welcome to ABC Radio National. You're listening to four men who discuss matters of them, heart, mind, body and hip pocket, and four men who know a lot about being alone. We are, of course, the Lonely Hearts Club, and we are here till midnight this evening on your AM dial. Of course, we have a podcast which is available to download as soon as 12:01 ticks by.On the abc.net.au/rn/The Lonely Hearts Club. We've got a wonderful, wonderful lineup of guests joining us this evening. And in accordance to the ABC Charter, ABC Radio National has to provide programs that contribute to a sense of national identity, inform and entertain and reflect the diversity of the Australian community.And there are three men seated before me who certainly reflect that. Once again in the club, we're joined by the founder and creator of the Move Yass Dance Academy and choreographer, Mr. Lucas Dawson.
Luck be a lady tonight.
Nice catchphrase. We are joined once again by Australia's leading second unit director, esteemed one at that,Mr. Duncan Jardine.
Good evening, Richard, and good evening, Lonely Hearts. Good evening to anyone listening tonight who might be, well, on your own, forced to make do in a tiny motel out near the airport while your former partner lives it up in the house that you thought was in your name, but you were wrong, you were careless, and now you're paying the price like a fool.
Welcome. And for the first time in the Lonely Hearts Club since we met at the Hosam Healesville Chapter Men's Group...He's an inventor recently inducted to the National Inventors Hall of Fame. Great and huge honour to welcome all the way from Geelong, the inventor of note and renown, Mr. Roger Cunnington. Roger, great to see you.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Duncan and Lucas. Lovely to be here. Very exciting to be back on radio since I was banned from phoning in love songs and dedications. It's been a lonely 12 months, but it's great to be back on the air. I'm centred, I'm grounded, and I'm looking forward to the show.
It's wonderful to see you in that same string singlet that you are wearing at the Healesville Men's Group. We've got some great people coming on tonight. We'll be speaking with international bikini model and athlete and...Outback gal, Grace McClure. Mm-hmm. She'll be coming up and talking about what she's up to and growing up in the bush. How do you find love in the bush? She grew up somewhere near Broken Hill, so I'm sure we'll be hearing some wonderful stories.
There's a television reality series based around just that dilemma, Richard.
Which one would that be called?
It's Farmer Wants...Love or something like that. I'm good with the titles.
Farmer Bags of Root.
Something. I know it involves farms, loneliness and a certain amount of wildlife.
I think that was a song by Kevin Bloody Wilson.
Yeah, I think I've confused things there. We'll have more talk about Bloody's latest efforts later in the show, by the way.
We'll be joined by the naturopath to the stars, once again, Sally Mathrick.
Love, Sally.
Who were those stars again?
The stars were Duncan Armstrong, or R, Robert Cabas, Peter Luck.
Wow, that's a heady lineup.
Yeah, Peter Luck, of course, only seeing Sally during winter to allow him to look so great for those summer fills. And she'll hopefully be chatting about angina, fingers crossed for that one. We'll be speaking to a relationship counsellor, Mr. Paul Gail Baker. Hopefully he'll be shedding some light on how come we are spending so much time together with one another.And not with the lovely ladies of the world. All that's coming up, but right now it's time to find a full-length mirror in your house. Stand at ease, stare at yourself, and slowly unbutton your shirt. Because you are a smooth operator.Bucks up. Smooth operator. The fourth and final single from the debut album Diamond Life in 1984, a wonderful year, 84.
It was. Was it Sade?
Sade, it's pronounced, Lucas.
With the wine.
Sade, yeah, Sade. Okay. Sade Adu is her name, a British-Nigerian singer. It's actually a band, Sade. Not many people know that. Right. There's more than one.
I thought you were saying Sade Adu. I thought it was a new reality show.
I must say that is a perfect blend of R&B, soul, jazz, funk and soft rock. Beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to ABC Radio National. It's the Lonely Hearts Club. We'll be here until midnight tonight. It is the 12th of March, according to the Gregorian calendar. We're joined once again by Duncan Jardine.
Are we going to talk about the Oscars today? It's later, isn't it?
We've got Sir Nigel.
We were supposed to do it last week.
Apologies for that. Yeah. Of course, we had orthopaedic surgeon in the Hearts Club last week.
Right.
He's a little older, a little slower.
And orthopaedic surgeon trumps Hollywood correspondent, obviously.
Yes, he had his instruments with him, which we certainly didn't want to go into detail with. But if you're listening, we thank you for your time, Brendan, and all the best with the Quad Norris.
Yeah, the Quad. We had a lot of mail about the Quad Norris. But let me just say, I am still just as bitter as I was last week, and I'll try and maintain the rage until the next hour when we can really get to grips with what was wrong with the Oscars this year.
Oh, wow.
There's a manga in the studio, I'm sure. I'm sensing, Richard.
Absolutely. I mean, there's steam actually coming off your cravat.
It's meant to be a healing program, isn't it? So I guess I should go back to some of the lessons that we learned out there at Healesville, and obviously Mr. Cunnington was there as well, you remember.
Yeah, a lot of the lessons, absolutely, Duncan. Yep. You've got to learn to love yourself is one of the ones that we were taught, and I feel I've embraced that. I actually had a little bit of a date a couple of weeks ago, and I was running through a couple of my trophies and a few of my inventing awards with the lucky lady in question. And at the end of the evening, she turned to me and she said, "You really love yourself, don't you?" And I thought, wasn't that lovely affirmation?
It sure is.
Yes, she hasn't returned any of my texts.
Any of those? Yeah. No, well, it's important that you keep sending them every 90 seconds.
Yeah. How many have you sent?
Close to 3,000.
Okay, that's
I'm on an uncapped plan for harassing phone calls and texts, which is a certain liberty involved in that.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Don't leave anything out and sign off with your address potentially. And,
sometimes I add a little photo as well just to make sure she remembers who I am.
Oh, right. Mm. Well, that voice, ladies and gentlemen, it belongs to a celebrity, I guess, amongst us men at Hosm Healesville Chapter, where we met, all came together in some emotional and social help care of Estelle Gatenby. He, of course, was inducted to the Hall of Fame. No, I was actually talking about Roger.
Referring to me, I think, Lucas.
In the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
We'll get to your Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah.
Embarrassment later.
Roger Cunnington, of course, was inducted to the Invented Hall of Fame for an apparatus for treating air, I believe. Unlike the air conditioner, yours was the air shampooer. How does that work?
Well, it doesn't. I'll be honest. I've got the patent. It's mine, hence the induction. But we're still having some problems. It requires a lot of electricity. And we've had a couple of house fires, which we've managed to sort of pass off as being sort of a insulation bat related. But in fact, some of them have been to do with
the foam that spews out.
It does.
Forth,
a lot
and it does. Yeah. It's an acting. It cools and cleans the foam that comes out of the air shampooer.
Do you find, though, Roger, that it's actually imperative that an invention works?
No, not at all. In fact, I think it's the idea. It's seen the potential, Lucas, I think. For you, you're home, you're watching Don's Wheel. It's Don's Wheel to me.
Yeah,
it's a motorised Lazy Susan. Okay. See, you flip it on its side. See where I've gone?
Okay.
That's the mind of an inventor.
Okay, because I bought some nasal technology a while back. And
no luck?
Well, I think it had the opposite effect.
Oh, dear.
I mean, it didn't actually say what the effects would be. It suggested they'd be kind of more prowess in the boudoir. I found I had less.
Where were you spraying it, if it's not a rude question?
Someone's just
flashback. A studio invasion.
Sorry, Roger.
Security.
You may know him as the B-Train or the Bolz or the Naz.
B-Dog.
Or the B-Dog, Dr. Brendan Norris.
Gentlemen, just was doing a house call with Rod Quinn. Got a few problems with a bit of tennis elbow. Popped in to give him a quick cortisone. I'm in a club with him, the Aston Martin Car Club. And we've got a big meeting tomorrow and he wanted to be in tip-top shape for that. So when he popped in, got those anti-inflammatories for you. I've got a good number for the podiatrist that you wanted.
Oh, fantastic.
And a psychiatrist for you, Lucas.
Thank you.
Roger, nice to see you as well.
Might stop me plucking the rat so often.
This is an unexpected surprise. It's the first time we've had
It's the first time we've all been together since we were in the isolation tank en masse out at the sanctuary.
With the salt water and the tranquil forest sounds.
Whose hand is that anyway?
That's what it was called. Mm. Look, I've got to say, Brendan, are you able to stick around for this evening or are you moving on?
happy to participate if I can be of any help to you or to your listeners. Please feel free.
What's been the feedback since the Quad Norris went public last week?
Look, as you know, we're not allowed to react commercially to things, but I was approached by a couple of well-known magazines to do a spread. And myself and Shane Warne are in the same magazine. And let's just say that hopefully we can do some pretty exciting things for some people who are in big, big trouble out there.
Wow.
Always thinking of others. Well, look, we'll get you to stick around for Sally Mathrick. If you don't mind, we'd love to see the naturopath go against the old school medicine.
Ease up. That's not an area that I'm that familiar with, but happy to listen to her.
Toe-to-toe in the old Thunderdome.
New v. old. Right now, this one is for all the geologists in Kununurra who belong to the Kununurra Geological Society, who are a society of geologists in Kununurra. It's the Crystals. The Crystals with Then He Kissed Me, written by Phil Spector.
Before the trouble.
Well,
Phil, philandering Phil.
Apparently he owns something like 3,200 wigs.
A brilliant producer, but he will shoot you in the face. It has to be said.
Allegedly.
Right. It's beyond allegedly now.
It's a matter of record.
It is that time of night, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Lonely Hearts Club here on ABC Radio National. From Perth to Parramatta, from Queensland to Quirindi, we are going nationally. You can digitally stream us. Do many things with your digits by typing in the letters abc.net.au/rn/The Lonely Hearts Club. And, of course, we're tottering throughout the show at Lone Heart Club.
And we had some correspondents in Borneo last week, see? So, really, it's an international show.
International. Oh, that noise can only mean one thing, it's the naturopath to the stars. The cowbell has rung, and isn't she looking resplendent tonight, ladies and gentlemen? Sally Mathrick, the naturopath to the stars, wearing a fascinator.
Thank you, Richard. It's always an occasion to come in here, and I thought, well, I may as well pull it out rather than wait until next spring.
Is that real peacock feather?
It is, actually, but the peacock did die naturally. And
it was shot, which is natural in the peacock's world.
By Phil Spector.
And is the cowbell around the neck, is that just to go with it or is it to go against it?
I was just trying to bring a little bit of, you know, contradiction to what I was wearing and just thought it might become a little bit of a commenting point.
Can I just say at this point, Richard, there is a bit of tension in the studio. Obviously, we've got Roger Cunnington sitting in for the first time, but as well as Naturopath to the Stars, at the other end of the bench, we've got representing the world of more conventional medicine, Dr. Brendan Norris, and I can feel a bit of tension here this evening.
More than happy to be open to the ways of a passing fad, which I call naturopathy, but fire away. I'll take a pen and take down a few notes. Still, we never know what we might learn, but hey, I don't think there's anything out there we already haven't learned. Thousands of years of medical science can't be wrong.
Oh, well, that's not... Okay. Sally's come here of her own...
Look, let's settle this in a mature way. Let's find out what car they both drive, and I think that'll go on a thinner. Dr. Brendan?
Reconditioned Aston Martin.
Dr. Sally?
1990 Corolla Seeker.
Okay, let the listeners make their minds up.
Sally, I'm hoping this week you're going to get to angina. Should I keep my fingers crossed?
I think keep them crossed for a little while longer, because today I really wanted to talk about gout.
Yes.
Wow.
One of my top three favourite.
Yeah, I know Lucas was rooting for gout, and Duncan had his hands up for halitosis.
As I often say to my patients, if you're not getting gout, you're not getting out.
Right. Brendan, you would see gout. How would you deal with it?
I think it's a positive affliction. Yeah. Right, I think that people indulging in good things, good wine, good food, large amounts of it, that's what we need more of in this world. We need more joy. We don't need people not eating and only eating things that don't taste good. Enjoy your life. You're not here for a long time. You're here for a good time. And if you have a problem, come and see someone like me. I'll give you an injection of something magical and it'll all go away.
Right. Sally, what is gout?
Well, Richard and boys and Dr. Brendan, my understanding of gout is that it's an inflammation of the joint, which is actually a type of arthritis. It's a buildup of uric acid in the joint area. And it's predominantly due to overeating, as Dr. Brendan has pointed out, overeating of rich foods. And essentially what happens in the body is the body becomes more acid internally and the kidneys cannot actually excrete the uric acid at a rate quickly enough, and therefore the body has to deal with it somewhere, so it pops it into the joint. And so therefore, you know, treating it actually is looking at the causes of it and supporting the two areas it can support in order to get rid of it.
So it's not a booze thing as well? I've heard it's a lot to do with booze.
Well, it is, Lucas, yes. It's to do with alcohol, but it's also to do with anchovies and lots of seafood, overeating of seafood, overeating of organ meats, legumes. But even things like mushroom, spinach, asparagus and cauliflower, they're all quite rich in purine as well. So in general terms, Dr. Brendan is absolutely right in saying that it is an overindulgence of rich and wealthy foods. I used to call it the wealthy man's disease or the rich man's disease because it was associated with portly men.
Well, King Henry VIII, I believe, suffered somewhat badly from gout.
He was a spokesman, wasn't he?
He was for the, yes. He
was for the Gout Association.
He did a series of community service announcements across the UK that was well ahead of their time.
Yeah, Gab. It was.
That's right.
Gab.
I think Gaudi built the La Sagrada Familia in.
Familia.
In honour of gout.
Well, listen, make up your own mind about it, but if you are interested, there's a group that gets together four times a year. They're called the Goutsters.
Okay.
We get together for food and wine, a good time. Mm. We eat solidly for about 12 hours.
Wow.
And that always starts at 9:30 a.m, doesn't it? You kick off with a nice Chablis.
Yes, 9:39 a.m. A lot of red wine. Everything has red wine. Mm. Everything is rich. And everything makes you feel good inside.
Wow.
They're all professional people. There are a number of doctors there. If you have a problem, people are on site straight away to...
Right,
now, Sally, the reason I brought up booze before is I've read in medical publications, I read a lot of medical publications, is it true that people who drink Kahlua and milk are more likely to contract gout? Because Kahlua is a very gouty beverage, isn't it?
You know what, Lucas, I'm out of my depth here and I really don't know the answer to that question.
Just answer it.
Oh, it could be. If you're answer. Drinking good large way. Amounts...
Say yes.
I'd say yes, if you were drinking large amounts of Kahlua, potentially.
Okay.
Sally, is there some recognisable symptoms of gout? So if perhaps I went on a date with someone and they had a huge thorax, would I...
Hypothetically?
Potentially. Should I comment on potential of gout or should I say that's a lovely jowl?
Essentially, the symptoms of gout are pain and inflammation in the joint, and commonly it happens in the large toe, and often it will wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
The toe?
The toe, the pain in the toe will wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Is that daylight saving time or...?
2-3. Dr. Brendan, I mean, it depends. Sometimes, you know, sometimes people might wake up at 4 as well.
2 hours earlier, obviously, in Western Australia.
Imagine if your toe was jet-lagged, you'd be all over the shop.
Yes. Mm.
So externally, there's nothing visible. I thought that gout was almost like elephantitis in some respects.
Well, no, I think you can actually have lots of feelings of joint inflammation and general malaise, if you like, as well. So you can sometimes see gout. Right.
Yeah. Well, it brings us to how does one deal with gout then? Is there a way to actually get rid of it?
There are. In fact, gout is really easily controlled through dietary intake. But it does actually involve eating things which are much more alkaline forming as opposed to acid forming, which may not be the most exciting things to people who have...
Give us some examples, Sally.
Okay, well, so maybe the less exciting things would be vegetable broths.
Yep, agreed.
But probably a little bit more exciting, we're looking into Himalayan salt.
Hello.
Yep.
I'm not as excited as you might have thought. Keep going.
Okay. Raw cacao, which is actually raw chocolate beans.
Don't get me started.
They are very exciting. In fact, they're also a good source of phenylethylalanine, which is the little neurotransmitter which comes out when you fall in love. Oh. And so cacao is actually a really wonderful nut. It's the original chocolate nut. And it's because it's so rich in minerals, it's actually alkalizing the body. And so it's also, it gives you a bit of a buzz.
And do you rub this onto the foot, do you?
No, you eat it, actually. But I'm sure you could get a butter made from cacao as well and use that.
Body butter, yeah. I've had that.
Wow. There was an invention that Roger actually invented for identifying gout and hiding gout on a date. There was some controversy around that invention. Roger, what
was it? It was
that?
Installing a third kidney, and it was very complicated. We just didn't quite get the mechanics of it right. It proved a little, some of the test subjects didn't fare as well.
Well, I was sitting on the medical board at the time when it came through, and I gave it all thumbs up. And, Roger, I encourage you to go back and perhaps rethink,
okay,
because the long road of alternative medicine is not the right road.
Can I interject here just for a moment? Because there are some really effective, quick remedies for gout. One of them comes from Dorothy Hall. And Dorothy Hall actually talks about gout in terms of people get gout if they are actually unable to let acid feelings out of their system, which I think is a very interesting thing, that the type of person who gets gout is someone who's not really able to express themselves and particularly express the negative or acid kind of feelings inside their body. In any case, what she says is that if you take a supplement made from juniper berry and celery seed, both of those herbs work quite specifically on the kidney in order to increase the uric acid excretion from the body, then that can help. But there is a caveat on that, in that if you do have some kidney weakness, it's not a good idea to go for juniper berries because they're a bit strong.
Okay. Whereas having a third kidney would probably sort the whole deal out.
Very easily.
I mean, I think the lesson letting the acid feelings out is right, because at men's group, you were pretty gouty at the start. Your toe was out of control. But once you just vented, it seemed you could see it reduce
after the DVD evening, you just went crazy. Remember, you turned on all the films and you felt better at the end of it, didn't you?
No, it was great to have a Robin Williams marathon. And I do think that Popeye was some of his best work.
I think Flubber was going just a bridge too far.
Four bottles of Pinot Noir will always kill the pain.
Yeah.
It certainly does.
Or make you forget it at any rate.
Yeah, it certainly does help you dull those voices. Sally, just in closing, how many people are affected by gout? Is this something that we should be...
Is there a national database is what you're saying, Richard?
Yes. Should we, as middle-aged gentlemen in our 40s and 50s, should we be worried? Who does it affect? Is it teenage boys?
Look, it really is probably more the middle-aged to older people who are affected by it. And again, if your diets are high in rich foods and anchovies and wine, then you might very well be finding you're getting a little bit of stiffness, in which case you need to alkalise your diet and reduce your inflammation.
Richard, I better go.
Oh.
I'm going
paged?
Off. Margaret Throsby's having some problems. I've got to nip over and see.
Oh.
Can't deal with the facts coming out of...
Thank you, Dr. Brendan. I was wondering whether maybe next week, Dr. Sally, I suffer from a very particular condition. It's ADDHD, which is a cross between attention deficit disorder and dyslexia. If you could maybe come in with a couple of treatment options for that, it'd be very much appreciated.
Sure thing, Roger. I'd love to.
Thank you.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm still hanging out for angina. Thank you.
That's actually a heart disorder.
Yeah. Some may say I have another name for it. Yeah. Sally Metherick, naturopath of the stars. How is Peter Luck?
Again, a confidentiality clause, but overall great. Yeah.
Can you reveal any more of the stable of the stars?
Richard, I'd love to. It's just my professionalism doesn't let me cross that line.
What about dead clients? Because that would then it's fair.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the estates would
was he ever on the books?
I think you looked after Ian Hewitson. May he rest in peace.
I think he's still there. Oh, yeah. He's very gouty, but he's still with us.
Ian, if you're listening, choice. Right now it's time to hear from Robert Alan Zimmerman.
Over dignity,
wow, Bob Dylan with a song called Dignity. That was a demo version released off the bootlegged album series that Bob was involved in. However, I picked that up in Bangkok on a recent business trip for 3 baht. It's a wonderful trip too, and big shout out to all those Thai silk makers out there. I will settle that debt shortly. Experiencing some cash flow difficulties with a venture on Norfolk Island. Who knew the cyclone would come through and wipe out those coconuts? Still, life goes on. A little bit like lonely hearts out there on the ocean of love. And speaking of lonely hearts, we're joined by choreographer and entrepreneur Lucas Dawson.
Luck be a lady tonight. I should explain that, actually. I got beaten up again last week.
Oh, no.
Because of my catchphrase that I had created last week, which I thought was actually quite a nice one.
Yeah. What was it?
Wang Chung tonight.
Yeah,
right. Was it everybody?
Yeah. No. I didn't actually use the everybody. See, this was my bit. This was an original bit.
That's where you got the everybody offside.
Yeah, and I got severely beaten for that as well. You know, I had two black eyes last week, and now I've got three.
Goodness.
Right. You know, are you sure it's the catchphrases that are attracting the acrimony? How do they let you know?
What happened? I got recognised. My voice got recognised.
Right. And so Blood comes up. What does he say to you?
He says, "Say that again." And I say, "Where are the melons?" And then he realises it's me.
Recognise your voice.
Because a lot of people now recognise me.
You're the bloke who does that Wang Chung thing.
What's with the catchphrases? And I said, "What's with your face?"
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking now in hindsight.
A bit provocative.
Yeah, that could have possibly been it.
Mm. Mm.
But I'm not going to stop with the catchphrases because I won't be silenced. I'm here, I'm loud, I'm proud. And you know what? Luck be a lady tonight.
How was your Mardi Gras weekend?
Well, as I said, I didn't go because of the whole... last year, waking up on the Tuesday, missing a shoe, and one shoe three sizes too small. But I did watch some of the Mardi Gras on television. And
it's great, wasn't it?
Look, it wasn't quite like it was when I choreographed pretty much the entire thing.
Of course, esteemed second unit director Duncan Jardine's joined us once again here in the Lonely Hearts Club. I know the third member of our triumvirate of Lonely Hearts Club men, there's four of us, this evening is Roger Cunnington.
It's a treat to have Roger here because we haven't seen him since the healing weekend. And I'm sure all of us at one point would have used perhaps a device or an invention that Roger's come up with without even realising that it was one of his. In my house, I have, he uses the name KTEL. He's not affiliated with the KTEL brand. He's doing it as a tribute to the old products, the KTEL iPod Selector. We've got one of those in the house. Fantastic. When you want to know which iPod you're going to use, there, I'll use the orange one tonight.
Mm. Absolutely. I'm working on a cooking app where it's recipes, but it's voice activated because, of course, you've got your hands covered in flour and
breadcrumbs,
and you don't want to be flicking your iPod. So it voice it. You go, next. And the idea is that it goes on to the next step in the recipe. But for some reason, and I've got the boffins working on this, it only works when you say next in a German accent. We can't figure that out.
Right.
Wow. How would that be?
Okay. Wow.
Schnell.
Yeah. Well, it works beautifully then, but next, no. It's nothing.
Not good at all.
You know what I have that I don't use anymore is the Two Fur Gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the solar-powered rabbit skinner.
Hmm.
Now, that didn't work.
No. That we lost our subsidy from the last time pulled out of solar, the government.
And my dad now has one ear.
Oh,
wow.
Sorry.
So, yeah. He's still listening tonight, though. He's still listening with the good one. G'day, Dad.
We're on AM.
Just the mono.
No problems there.
He's actually got mono as well.
Okay, well, great. This is an irony.
I must say that it was very exciting to learn that when we were at the HOSM Healesville chapter, that we were in the company of the inventor of the left-handed zipper. He was a great surprise to all of us, and a very humble man is our Roger Cunnington. Right now, it's time to take a dip across the Pacific and find out all the latest news in Hollywood entertainment with Sir Nigel Higglethwaite.
Live and direct from Hollywood, Los Angeles, with all the latest entertainment movie news and blues, it's Hollywood Nights with Sir Nigel Higglethwaite.
Yes, he's on the line. And Nigel, it's a couple of weeks ago now, but the 83rd Academy Awards were held, the ceremony hosted, of course, if we remember, by James Franco and Anne Hathaway. Mm. Now, those hosting efforts were described as disappointing and underwhelming.
Yeah.
Many pundits in the industry are saying, given their age, this is no surprise. But how did you see it?
Hello, darlings. Surprise, always key. One must always keep oneself feeling as if it were new. A lesson taught to me by my dear friend Thule, better known perhaps to the public at large as Sir Peter O'Toole. There's a knighthood missed, if there ever was one. He was talking about being on stage. He and I were doing a No Coward. The name of the play escapes me. My frightful memory betrays me once again. We were summoned, as it were, to the 503 Theatre in Battersea, a wonderful place to die, as Alan Bates once put it. Julie and I were staying at a delightful B&B run by a frankly ghastly Welshman. I'm loath to describe him, other than to say he had fingers like turnips and teeth like headstones. Anyway, one night, late in the run, I walked into Tully's dressing room and caught him inserting matches between his toes. "Tully, what on earth are you doing?" I cried. He looked up at me nonplussed and said, "Nigel, one must always keep oneself on edge on stage. Surprise yourself and therefore keep the audience surprised." He then proceeded to light each match and pull on his wellies, walk out on stage and perform...
If it's Hollywood, it's Heel Face.
Well, I think that's put that hosting question to bed. Actually, what did you guys think of the hosting of the Oscars? James Franco.
It was, I have one issue. The dressing up in drag moment. With Franco. Now, I, as you guys know, choreographed the first footy show grand final special.
Yeah, sure.
It was me who came up with the idea of guys who are definitely not gay dressing up as if they were gay for comedic effect. And I think that this is the word plagiarism comes to mind and the words, "I'm going to sue the pants off Franco."
Right.
Come to mind.
I think it was a bold move of Franco to dress up as a woman.
Yeah.
To come out on stage before the largest viewing audience you could imagine and have absolutely nowhere to go with it.
Unbelievable.
Mm. It was a bold move.
Like a young Billy Brownless.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the thinking behind having the two younger hosts this year, do you think, Duncan, as a man in the industry?
They said themselves during the broadcast, I think Anne Hathaway said, "Welcome to the young and hip Oscars."
Oh.
Now, here's Billy Crystal with a tribute to Bob Hope. And, you know, I think that really... That was what they were on about there. Yeah. It was for the youngsters, trying to get a younger audience. It failed. It actually rated lower than the previous year with Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin.
Did you notice that James Franco didn't blink a lot? He seemed to be quite tired and emotional, almost after, as if he had some medicinal marijuana.
And it was interesting, after every ad break, that effect seemed to be magnified, I noticed.
But none more so than when I saw him eating a packet of Twisties just before the Best Documentary Award.
Right.
It got very laissez-faire, let's be honest, towards that point.
I have to say, too, look, I know I've been a bit bitter and down about the Oscars.
Yes, I'm very angry about it.
I just think, why is there no category for Best Second Unit Direction or Photography? Because, let's face it, we've got Best Sound Effects Editing. Mm. Who even knows what that is?
Yes. Well, you've been petitioning the Academy of Sciences and Motion Picture for some time now. Where are you at?
Here's my idea. This is what I floated with them. Okay, halfway through the awards... As you know, they will say, "Last night, the scientific and technical awards were held. Here's a package of moments from that ceremony." The slightly more boring awards.
Yeah.
I say, why not on that night, the scientific and technical awards ceremony, can't they have another package within that and say, the night before that, we had the second unit awards. Let's now see a package within that.
Absolutely.
And maybe on that night, we could have another package within it for the caterers.
Would the second unit awards be hosted at the same venue? Or
my idea is to film the second unit presentation entirely with second unit directors and coverage so that you would never see who's actually hosting it. You just see a close-up of the hand ripping the envelope open.
Cut to it in a setting sun or something like that.
Something like that. And you hear just the sound.
Close-up of hands clapping.
That's right. The second unit awards.
Wow.
Why not? People laugh. But sound effects editing, for God's sake, it's mad.
Gosh, look, take a deep breath. Take a breath, Duncan.
Sorry, I'm getting carried away.
Can I raise the thorny issue of your acceptance speeches? And there's lots of do's and don'ts. With an acceptance speech. Usually it's don't go too long.
Absolutely.
I don't know whether they brought the playoff music in.
They had a bit of playoff music. But you'll notice they never do it when a musician's on. Randy Newman go for about 15 minutes.
Or if you're really old, I think they figure there's a point at which...
That's right. You're in Kirk Douglas. You're unseemly.
You can't shuffle him off. But there's obviously don't go too long. But there's also who you thank. And generally a really good Academy Award acceptance speech involves a lot of references to people we've never heard of in facilities. And I'll give you an example. The two gentlemen behind Best Animated Short were Sean Tan and Andrew Ruman. Now, first up, Sean Tan, copybook, this is how you do an acceptance speech.
The Oscar also goes to John Kassab, Michael Yuzerski, Adrian Medhurst, Tim Minchin, Screen Australia, and everybody who's supported us with such generosity and patience.
Like clean, I say, you're clean, great. Clean, a lot of people we never heard of, and then just the general everyone got. Yep, okay. Sure. Immediately followed by his partner in putting together this wonderful Academy Award-winning short, Andrew Ruman, who opened with this.
Thank you. Very quick one. Just say I love my wife, Jennifer Nadel.
What?
Right.
Wow. So was that? That's not an acceptance speech. That's
no, it's just an aside.
That's raising the bar because now everybody on the evening who got up following that had to open with how much they love their life partner. Or it was going to be saying, oh, you didn't mention your...
I wonder why he doesn't say that to her face-to-face.
Wait, well, yeah, he said, I'll do it when I win an Academy Award.
Mm. Yeah, I was at the Jack Newton Celebrity Classic golf tournament last year. I know a few celebrities. I'm not going to mention who they are.
Peter Luck?
Yes. And they had the awards, you know, for best golfer and most outlandish costume and all that sort of stuff.
Dan won that.
Absolutely, he did. He did, actually, with the back-to-front G.
Yep.
The third person to win a prize, won at golf clubs, donated it back to the charity, leaving the first two people who'd taken their hamper and golf balls there ruining the fact that they hadn't thought of it themselves.
It's like, I'll give you a more domestic example. It's like when you're having a dinner party and someone turns to the host or hostess and goes, is absolutely beautiful food.
Oh,
everyone's got to dive in. You can't just sit there and keep eating because it's like rude. So for someone to get up there and say, I love my wife, and then name her, I just feel that it's put a lot of undue pressure on people, especially for whom relationships may not be going all that smoothly on the night.
Yes.
And, you know, I can relate to that. I think we all can.
Just getting a lot of people offside that don't have wives.
Exactly.
Roger, whom do you think he should have thanked?
Possibly an obscure editing facility that none of us had ever heard of. That's always good.
That's right.
And often you say all the boys down at ProCam, you know, and then there's three people in the back row who clap, that's great.
And the agents, of course, have to get
they
a bitch.
They do. God's dropped off the menu a bit.
He's doing more TV work these days.
I think it's more your musicians. It's more your Grammys that go for God, don't they?
They do. What about at the Jack Newton Awards? How do they?
There's a lot of God going on there.
I didn't know there was a Jack Newton Awards.
Yeah, there is,
what
absolutely.
Is the sound of one hand clapping? Let's move on to, I think, speaking of applause, I was disappointed to see them getting rid of the dead people clapometer. That's always one of the highlights.
How does that work, Duncan? During the
they show
it's a popularity
firstly
contest.
They brought out what seemed to me to be the Roswell alien, but turned out to be Celine Dion, sang a song, and then we see a montage of people who have died over the last year. Mm. Traditionally, the audience clap.
Yeah.
Oh, good! It's someone I've heard of. Fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I didn't like him. Sound effects editor. Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah. Or there's also the people who want to prove that they know the obscure boom operator.
Yeah,
and they clap really loudly to go, yep, obviously worked with him.
So you're telling me that they show a photo of every single person that's died on Earth?
In the world.
In the industry, connected to the business.
Everybody except Corey Haim, which caused internet outrage. Yes,
absolutely.
Goodness.
Do you think being asked to present that particular category would be seen as a high point of your career or an intimation that you're next in line?
Well, I think it would be good to bring out someone just to remind you that they're still alive, because that tends to happen quite a lot.
It does,
you go, Jane Russell's goodness, I would have thought she would have dropped off a few years
long
back
time.
Now.
That may be a package of predictions, who we think should or could die in the next year.
You're on a slippery slope there, because you're one step away from who we'd like to.
Who we'd like, and there's only so many packages you can put in one show.
Charlie Sheen obviously would be a safe bet.
Duncan, have you won any awards for your...
I've never won nothing. I've never won. It's just no category for second unit. I mean, we don't get a look in. We're lucky if we get a thank you after the wives and agents.
Wow. What would be the second unit awards called? Of course, we have the ARIAs or the Logies. Or
the macros.
Yeah.
The macros.
Yeah, most things are shot in macro, aren't they?
Well, a lot of macro, sure. The macros.
What shape would
number
the award would be in?
Maybe just a big number two.
Yeah.
Well, that's where it's at.
Always topical.
Yeah, speaking of, I don't want to sound bitter. I feel like I've soiled the program. Sorry, guys.
No. I think as we've learned, it is important to get rid of our angry feelings. Yeah. You know, I think we're doing that tonight.
What better place to do them than on national radio?
Our acidic feelings, as Sally said earlier on.
Let's make the program more alkaline.
Mm. Well,
I feel like an anchovy.
Mm. Let's all have an anchovy. Richard, let's cheer it up, shall we?
We'll cheer it up with two gentlemen Duncan Jardine's shot and covered in many things over his career, Brian Brown and Tom Cruise. This song is from the soundtrack to Roger Donaldson's Cocktail. It is Preston Smith. Yes, I guess you know. Oh, I love Love You So by Preston Smith, off the 1988 film Cocktail. Wonderful story, that one.
Richard, can I ask a broadcasting question? Do you back announce every song with...
He does, yes.
Or do you modulate them depending on the nature of the track?
Good question. I like to sip and taste and roll it around on the palate. The bars, the 16 bars and the notes that the musicians, such as Preston Smith, dedicate their lives to learning and writing.
And then do you spit or swallow?
Depends on the time of night, but usually here at the ABC radio, in accordance with their editorial charter, I'll spit.
You've been standoffish at best about my catchphrases. I think that is your catchphrase.
It is.
I wouldn't stoop so low to have one.
On a T-shirt, Lucas, how many M's do you think?
I think there's a couple of H's in there as well.
Oh, yes.
I think there's about five M's.
You might get in trouble
H's.
With another radio network if you weren't careful.
Sure.
You'd need to definitely a couple of H's and some dot, dot, dots.
Absolutely.
Cocktail, of course, is a story about a bartender. And the copy line that was played by Tom Cruise, the copy line was, "When he pours, he rains."
Oh, yeah, okay.
Wonderful.
Very clever. Duncan's, you've worked with Tom Cruise.
Well, I technically have worked with Tom Cruise, but in fact it was not his foot. It's the famous shot from the international version of Mission Impossible 2. I swear to you this was cut out in Australia, but in every other country of the world, when he goes into the outback in the helicopter with John Paulson at the wheel, he steps out of the helicopter and his foot lands in a giant bit of, what can I say on radio, cow dung. And Paulson turns to him and says, "Welcome to Australia, mate." I shot the foot going in.
Whose foot?
It was actually Alex Pabst.
Whose dung?
Tom Cruise. The dung, I can't claim all the ship or knowledge of where that came from.
Wow.
But that was cut out in Australia. But in every other country in the world, you can look this up on the internet, that line appeared.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible 2.
You might have put it there. And
I can look anything up on the internet.
It's on nerdopedia.com. I think they're very credible.
Righto.
Well, speaking of credible people, we have someone with many letters after their name. It's BA, Dip Ed, M Counselling, Clinical Member, CAPAV, PACFA, REG.
Reg.
I'm, of course, speaking about none other than Mr. Paul Gale Baker. Welcome to the Lonely Hearts Club, Paul.
Thank you, Richard.
You seem to be quite adept when it comes to relationships. Tell us a little bit about what it is that you do for a living.
Well, what I do for a living is to work with couples and individuals like yourselves who are having challenges with relationships of various sorts.
Mm-hmm. Challenges is an interesting word.
It is an interesting word.
Another word could be court proceedings, could be unpaid debts, and it could be apprehended violence orders.
A range of challenges.
Yeah, at which stage are you called in?
I'm usually called in at the stage where couples are having difficulties. Perhaps they're arguing, perhaps they've lost affection in their relationship, they've lost intimacy, they may in fact be thinking about separating.
And is there usually one there who wants to be there and the other who's being dragged in under suffrage?
I think you've got it pretty right there. There's usually one person who's the bringee and the other person the bringer.
And in heterosexual relationships, is it a wild assumption to assume that it is more often the woman who is into it?
Look, I think it's unfortunate to go too far down the gender track.
Okay.
You might try to make a case for that, but I think it's fair these days to see a lot of women perhaps being the bringee.
Yes.
A little presumptuous, Lucas.
No, no, what? It'll never concern me.
You mentioned, Paul, that when you're called in, is it always one of the two people in the relationships, or could it perhaps be a person passing by on a tram or something to phone you and send you down to sort out a dispute?
No, it's always one of the couple who contacts me.
And how does it work? If you say there's a bringer and a bringee, usually there's a waiting room. Is it much like a doctor's surgery?
Look, I suppose it is very similar to a doctor's surgery. Hopefully it's a little less clinical.
Hmm. And so they turn up, someone comes out and says, "Peter, Susan, please come in. Paul will see you now."
That's exactly right.
Is it a couch they sit on? Or
no couches. No couches. We just have chairs.
Any undressing required, or is it?
No undressing at all whatsoever.
Stripping off your inhibitions. I didn't mean it in any.
Of course not.
Otherwise. Have you ever managed to turn a couple around within a session to perhaps become amorous with each other in the room?
Well, thanks, Lucas. While it's true that some people can use a single session quite effectively, and in fact, that's one of the more usual lengths of sessions in some forms of counselling. In relationship counselling, it usually takes a little bit longer.
Right.
And how many sessions are there in a traditional counselling?
There's no fixed number. Some people do contract for a certain length of time, but most of us usually work with a sense of session by session work.
A bit like driving lessons, and you know, you wait until you when you can change gears, and you know, you're ready to
move on. No.
Now, Paul, one thing that fascinates me, I've got your CV here, and I'm fascinated by the idea of voice dialogue training. Now, can you touch on that for us? Because I think it'd be a valuable tool, not even so much just to, you know, get your relationship back together, just to hold on to your iPod.
Voice dialogue is a bit of another interest that I have, which is really to do with working with parts of a person. So although it informs a lot of the work I do, it's not voice in the sense that you might think of it. So we're working with parts, our inner critics, our pleasers, our pushers.
Does it also touch on the right and the wrong thing to say in situations, or is it?
Well, it can certainly be very instructive in terms of thinking about what's a more appropriate thing to say.
Right.
Yes.
I have a question for you, Paul. One of the reasons you mentioned that people go for relationships counselling is they learn how to end a relationship. What's a tried and true method of ending a relationship?
Well, I don't know about tried and true, but the preferred method of ending a relationship would be to have the couple work through what the issues were so that they both have an understanding.
So that would be at one end of the possibilities. The other pole would be the Phil Spector method, I guess. Mm. And so in between we have a vast range of options.
Indeed, I prefer the former.
Can I ask a hypothetical, Paul? This is absolutely hypothetical. Let's say there's a woman, Leanne. No, actually, no, let's not call her Leanne.
Let's just say a woman.
A woman.
Let's call her Lee.
Okay. And she says, I'm thinking of losing weight. Okay, this is hypothetical. And you say, oh, no, the partner says,
let's just call
that's
him
a good idea.
We'll call him Roger.
Roger says, that's a good idea. And then Leanne says, oh, so you think I'm fat, do you? What's gone wrong there?
Well, the communication's broken down a little bit, I would think.
On her side or mine? I mean, on the woman's side or on the...
Me, it just sounds like Roger's being supportive.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Well, indeed. It could sound like that, but I guess that's not how Leanne heard it.
Do you sit there Judge Judy style and go, I think...
You point to someone and you've got Doug Llewellyn outside on a microphone speaking to the people after you've handed down your decision.
What went wrong, but it's just downhill from there. You think I'm fat, do you? No, I don't think you're fat.
Wow, poor Roger. That bloke really walked into a trap there.
Hypothetically,
he got done.
Can I ask how many of these problems that we're talking about can be traced to the bedroom and activities in the bedroom?
Well, the activities in the bedroom are more usually the result of how the relationship's going.
Right.
So it works usually the other way around, that if the relationship's travelling well, usually what's happening in the bedroom's going well too.
What happened with me, with my ex-wife Donna, is I need to be more conservative in the bedroom because Donna was always very keen on, you probably heard of this before, inviting a third party to join us in the boudoir. Now, I was fine with that. Yeah. It's just that she would then ask me to leave. And I would protest, and she would say, oh, you're just not being open-minded enough. Mm. A threesome minus one, she called it, the minus one being myself. Was I not being open-minded enough there? I think I was too open-minded for too long.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps so, but whether it's a threesome or a threesome minus one, there are challenges there. Yeah. Oh, relationship, of course.
Okay. Key word again.
And whilst a couple's having trouble, would you suggest that negative comments and niggling are a bad thing? I had a bad breakup. Well, a very good relationship that broke up very badly. And this person started, I guess, picking on my eyes.
Picking on your eyes,
and
Lucas.
I know you're looking at them now and you see what I'm talking about. But
it's a lazy retina.
Well, it's two lazy retinas. He would always pick on them.
What would he do? Like he'd move to your blind spot?
He'd simply say, I'd say, you haven't emptied the dishwasher. And he'd say, you've got lazy retina. You know, I mean, it's laughable now, but it's very hurtful.
So it doesn't sound like an appropriate answer to what you were saying.
Paul, how do people broach the subject? What's the best way to bring up suggesting that we go and see a counsellor for our relationship help? What would you suggest?
Well, talk directly about it. Raise the issue that there are issues in the relationship and suggest that a counsellor is appropriate.
And do it together, not say you need to see a counsellor.
Well, of course, any time there's a couple involved, we know that each person's going to have a part to play in whatever the issues are that are affecting the couple. So it is appropriate that both are involved.
If your partner is reluctant, would you ever recommend like tricking them and saying it's a special new movie theatre, you know, director's lounge or something like that, and then you walk in and...
That's probably about the worst way to introduce counselling.
And what about, you know, on television? We see a lot of fictional depictions of therapists and counsellors. Do you watch The Sopranos?
Yes.
Do you think that's an accurate depiction there?
Look, there are some elements that are probably accurate, but most of those portrayals aren't really the way it goes, simply because it's not dramatic enough for that sort of medium.
Right. So if you've got relationship problems, maybe don't base your approach on that of Tony Soprano.
I would suggest not.
Okay, fair enough. Right.
Paul, thank you very much for dropping into the Lonely Hearts Club. Your website, relationship-counselling.com.au, is available to anyone with a web connection. Is there a best time to contact you, or is there perhaps a pseudonym? Like, is there a code that people could contact you under? Or that is it discreet billing?
Mr. Brightside or something
Yes, is there a sort of a deep throat that...
Richard, office hours work well.
Office hours. Just in closing, Paul, what's been the best gossip you've heard from your job? You're getting some great stories.
Since I operate under conditions of complete confidentiality, unfortunately, Richard, can't.
You must have photos.
Very late on the ABC. I think you could probably
don't
get away with
Nicole
it.
Don't say Nicole and Keith. Say, Nick and Ken. Ken. We'll join the dots.
Wow. Thanks so much, Paul.
Thank you.
Baker.
Thank you.
Speaking of stopping and smelling ourselves and each other and reflecting on life, it's time where we take a moment and think about our dreams that we had as young men, the hopes that we had before things went askew, when the world was our oyster and the candle of life flickered bright. But sometimes, as we know in our lives, dreams are shattered, hopes fade, and the oyster is contaminated by a large oil spill just outside the Gulf of Mexico. And like love, the candle flickers out and turns cold. With this in mind, it's important to wander over to a large window, look out at the busy streets outside as happy people go about their lives without a care or scant regard for us, for people who don't have what they want, who aren't happy, who aren't healthy, who aren't content, for whom dreams don't come true. It's important to reflect on what might have been in our lives. It's called me time. Back home.
There it is.
Bobby Vinton.
That's the catchphrase.
He was of Polish origin. He had a string of records. It was called his Lonely Period. Bobby Vinton sings for lonely nights. He had long, lonely nights. He had L-O-N-E-L-Y.
Wow.
He also did, in 1967, Please Love Me Forever.
It's a bit desperate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he was putting it on the table.
I guess his suicide in 1967 came as no surprise to anyone.
We should have picked it.
It was a cry for help and we were not listening.
We didn't actually get to that, and if you are running his estate and you're listening, rest in peace, Bobby Vinton.
And actually, can I just promo our Twitter account?
Oh, yeah. How many followers have we got on there?
I believe we're up in the hundreds.
Yeah,
and I've been on it, and I'm getting some really interesting feedback.
Lucas Dawson's on there, separate to Lone Heart Club.
Yes, right.
Your own Twitter account.
At Move Yass.
How do you spell that?
MOOVYASS.
Right, that's Lucas's dance studio academy.
Yep, that's right. And we are at Lone Heart Club on the Twitter.
And Roger and Duncan are twittering live throughout tonight's show. Gosh, you've been writing some great stuff this evening. Lucas, you mentioned Move Yass. Who's probably your most famous pupil to come out of Move Yass, aside from yourself?
I don't like to put people... This is a choreographer-student confidentiality issue, but I will say this. Whenever I watch Wolverine, I just think of all those moves I gave to Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. One of yours, is he?
Absolutely. I got him before he went to Whopper. The Western Australian Academy of Performing Arts.
He was yours.
He was mine.
Lucas, of the five Latin dancers, which would be your personal passion?
Look, I'd probably say Raul. He was pretty good.
I've heard.
Yeah, closely. Well, yeah. In the end, he had commitment issues. So
yeah, moved on.
Ouch. Speaking of commitment issues, I know Paul's favourite segment on this, Paul Galbaker, the relationship counsellor we just spoke to, is this next one, which is designed to help spice things up in the bedroom. It's when we get all European on each other, and it's time to hear from the Madam of the Night, Matilde, as she helps us with this week's edition of Pillow Talk. Sautez bonheur. Joie dans le cœur.
Est-ce que je peux avoir la note, s'il vous plaît? Est-ce que je peux avoir la note, s'il vous plaît? May I have the bill, please?
It's Pillow Talk with Mathilde.
Wow. She gets me every time.
She's unstoppable.
I know a lot of people have written in and asked why all the French has to do with the transactions of sex, but isn't that what sex is?
Well, I'm sensing a storyline. I'm actually quite enjoying over the weeks just learning more about the tale.
Yeah, it's a narrative arc, definitely.
There is a definite arc, yeah.
She'll be joining us again next week. Thank you, Matilde, and look forward to you returning from Abu Dhabi. Right now, a first for the Lonely Hearts Club. We're going to cross live across the desk to Duncan Jardine for his weather report.
Look, I have to say, we haven't done this before, and I didn't realise that there's no one in the newsroom at this time of night here at the ABC. In fact, we're the only people in the building. As we've discussed before, the security man in the foyer is just a coat rack with a raincoat draped across it and a hat.
And a bowl of noodles in front of him.
It's rather awkward. So I had to get this weather information out of the recycling bin, so I don't know if this is current. But we'll go around the country, and also it's a good chance for me to say hello to crews and second unit crews working on various productions in the various states. So starting in Sydney, we're expecting a maximum of 27 tomorrow, a shower or two, and that's bad news for crews working on The Rats Are Back, the Water Rats reunion miniseries, Bisley and Friels, together at last.
Duncan, perhaps I might be able to help you out with some sound effects of weather.
Oh, have you got some, have you?
Great.
Melbourne, they're expecting rain clearing, maximum of 21. That won't affect people working indoors on the pilot for the great new series, What's in Totty's Pockets. Over in Adelaide.
I can't wait to see that.
Sample people too, I hope, won't be affected by the fine and partly cloudy weather with a maximum of 27. Sample people, you might remember, are set in Sydney, shot entirely in Adelaide. I think Sample People 2 is set in Paris, Morocco and the Himalayas. That's being filmed entirely in Rundle Mall. Over in Canberra, maximum of 23, cloudy, isolated showers, winds easterly and light. I don't know how that's going to affect shooting on a pilot for a great new series, Public, in which former Senator Chris Public goes one-on-one with talking points of the day. Up in Darwin, showers, afternoon storms, maximum of 30. I know Wickety Whack, the musical parodists, are doing a special up there tomorrow, live from the Portly Gentleman, which people in Darwin will know as the town's finest large men's store. Hello to everyone who works up there at the Portly. In Brisbane, they're expecting mainly fine, possible showers, maximum of 29. I know Brian Bury is hosting a fantastic new cooking show. Matt Preston and Ian Hewitson are keeping it gouty. And then finally in Perth, partly cloudy, maximum of 32. I guess that's good news for the makers of Cloud Street 2, already in production. Cloud Street 2, The Search for Pickles Gold.
Wow.
So good news for crews shooting around the country there. That's the weather.
Thank you so much, Duncan. And is there any particular weather pattern you'd like, sound effect, just to finish right now?
One random. Go for your life.
Give us a low pressure system.
Here you go. Oh, that's beautiful. Excellent work.
Thank you so much, Duncan Jardine. I really hope that we can get the weather again next week, of course. A hello to everybody that works out in the second unit film industry. We are thinking of you and do appreciate your close-ups. Right now, it's time to hear the theme tune to the inaugural WrestleMania. From 1985, it is Phil Bailey and Phil Collins. Phil Collins and Philip Bailey. Easy Lover from 1984. The video for that song was filmed in London and features Philip Bailey travelling by helicopter to meet Phil Collins in a television studio.
So is he the Easy Lover?
I think you're missing what I just said. He is travelling by a helicopter to meet Phil Collins in a television studio.
Is it? Okay. Wow. I think I'm still missing it.
He's retired now, Phil Collins.
Phil Collins, of course.
He's hung up the drumsticks.
What have you heard?
The article I read said an unspecified medical condition meant he could no longer play the drums and was forced to retire.
Well, I actually have it on good authority. Dr. Brendan Harris mentioned that Phil Collins actually dislocated a vertebrae in his neck whilst touring last year. After a successful operation, his hands still can't function normally. Perhaps in a year or so, it will change.
Jeez.
So, Phil, we wish you all the best.
Well, although, the gorilla from that ad could probably fill in for him.
Yeah.
Of course, the ad you're referring to is a chocolate commercial which featured In the Air Tonight. When that ad came on air in New Zealand, the song reached number 3 on the singles chart, topping its original number 6.
Wow, that hasn't happened since the song from The Boys from Alcan went to number 1 back in 1983.
I think we're perilously close to breaching ABC editorial guidelines on advertising. The mere fact we're thinking about this chocolate product is actually...
not within the editorial.
Exactly. Yeah.
We have a very special guest in the studio. I noticed that Roger Cunnington's changed string singlets. For the occasion, is standing upright to attention. Now has even pulled out a chair for her, originally from an outback cattle station near Broken Hill in New South Wales.
The chair.
The guest. Yep.
Very much appreciated, I must say, Thank you. I'm not Phil Collins, but I am here, so that is helpful.
Those beautiful tones belong to a model, a radio, a television and MC superstar. She's joined us all the way from Melbourne today. Via her cattle station in New South Wales. Please welcome to the Lonely Hearts Club. Thanks for dropping in, Grace McClure.
Thank you very, very much. Lovely to be here.
Grace, I'm curious, tell us a bit about where you grew up originally. Somewhere near Broken Hill.
That's true. It's about 280 kilometres northeast of Broken Hill on the Darling River. So it was described as the middle of nowhere, and I am one of 5 daughters, actually. Lucky dad, huh?
Lucky neighbour.
Actually, there is a funny story. I was emceeing, doing a motivational speak only a month or so ago, and the man who introduced me told me that he was fishing on the property, which is quite common going along the Darling River.
Right.
It was actually at the closest pub, and the closest pub is the Tilpa Pub, which is 80 kilometres away from our station, and the Tilpa Pub is literally a pub in the middle of nowhere. Yep. Like, there's nothing else there. There's a flying doctor clinic and a pub.
Yep.
And that's no video it. Shop or...
I think no the, video shop,
focaccia,
no
Focaccia bakery
no,
or...
No
there,
milk
there
bar.
Might be I think there's a Starbucks now, isn't there? Possibly.
They're bringing in a Starbucks.
Right.
No, so the Dilpa Pub is surprisingly well-frequented by all of the local shearers and...
And the pilots.
And the pilots and the occasional station owner's daughters as well, of course.
Right.
Yeah, this man who introduced me said that he dropped into the Tilpa Pub and wanted to know where he could go fishing. So he asked the publican where, and the publican said, whatever you do, don't go 80 kilometres further up the river because old man McClure is up there with his big house on the hill and his shotgun and he's got 5 daughters, so you want to keep away.
Wow.
So,
would you say that your life there is much as it's depicted in McLeod's on the Nine Network? I did a bit of second unit on there.
Oh, I've been told, rumour has it, that concept may have been...
Based on you.
I wouldn't say that. But,
well, McLeod's close to McClure. But,
McClure's daughters.
No, but it was an amazing upbringing. Because we were on the river, obviously, when it floods, and it's flooded at the moment, as you can imagine, when all the floodwater comes down from Queensland.
Yeah.
It just pulls over all of the land, and you know, previously parched land is just suddenly just fertile and flooded,
covered in annobly, and then you've got to wait for the waters to recede. So I guess you're stuck at home, aren't you?
Exactly. Our first property, we were actually marooned on an island, and so in summertime the snakes are really bad as well. I don't know if you know, near rivers they're kind of even worse, so they'd come and sleep on the doorsteps and
marooned. I'm sort of getting a blend
sun.
Of McLeod's Daughters and Gilligan's Island. So you can imagine the hijinks.
I would imagine that people who live on the land and work the land in this country would sit down and watch McLeod's Daughters and see it as a like a documentary depiction of absolute realism. Would I be right there?
Some parts are real, but a lot of the time...
How did you meet your husband growing up in such a remote community?
When I finished year 12, I took a gap year and went to Sydney modelling, and my sister was also living in Sydney, working for one of the politicians there, and she had started seeing her next-door neighbour, who his best mate was John, who had moved there playing for the Swans. The reason I'm telling this in a roundabout way is because you kind of normally go model footballer. John actually played for the Swans.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But it wasn't really like a model footballer thing. It was kind of...
It was footballer model
thing. Yes, yeah, quite different. Yeah,
exactly.
But before that relationship, were you a regular attendee at your bachelor and spinster's balls?
I did actually go to a couple, but the funny thing is that 3 out of my 4 sisters met their husbands at B&S's.
Right.
So there is one single sister, actually, too. There you go. That's Alice in Sydney.
Alice, you're home alone tonight, sharing your Saturday evening with us.
That's and look, of course, if you did want to reach out to Roger this evening, Alice, at Loneheart Club on Twitter.
She'll appreciate
that. He's Twittering live throughout the show. Chris, you mentioned you were a model. That might explain the string bikini that you're wearing. What sort of modelling?
I actually started with a competition modelling and then did a lot of fashion and editorial. And then, surprisingly, got pregnant when I was 19.
Oh,
wow. To a footballer.
Another footballer. Well, I just will put a caveat on it. It was, in fact, the mascot from the Swans, Siggy.
Grace, I was trawling through your CV. On your CV, it says that your website, within months of being up, had over 4 million hits. Is that true?
Yeah,
Do you feel a responsibility to make it more entertaining? Like, will you put a quiz on there, or will you? Because people love a quiz.
You asked before whether I did swimsuit modelling in a roundabout way.
Well, explaining the Australian flag bikini you're wearing.
There's a gallery, is there on this site?
No, when the website was launched, I was a swimsuit model. I actually did covers. So I think that is probably maybe a little bit to do with the number of hits. Yeah.
Can I ask, Grace, do you have a cat?
No, I don't have a dog.
Well, see, that is a dog. Why? Well, you see, the cats really are the ones that will get up and play a piano.
They're pretty funny.
Grace, have you ever done hand modelling? Because I believe that's considered the top of the elite. That is the pinnacle.
Do you know what? I actually was asked to do a hand modelling job a couple of days ago, and I said no. I had other jobs on.
Do you think that is a nice hand?
That's a beautiful hand. Well, perhaps you could do some hand modelling.
I reckon I've got beautiful hands.
Perhaps just put the middle finger down. That's probably...
It's part of my hand.
Yeah, right. It's not necessary. Grace, we'd love you to stick around, maybe have a chat to some of our Lonely Hearts Club listeners from around Australia, just talking about love in the bush. Have you the time?
Yeah, of course.
Great. Right now it's time to hear from Big Country. Big Country.
It is.
With Big Country off the album... Big Country. Love Scottish bands. Wonderful. That was 1984. I'm wondering if they were actually singing about Australia then. Speaking of Australia, we're going Australia-wide this evening until midnight here on ABC Radio National. Give us a call if you want to chat to Grace McClure about Love in the Bush. 1300 653 891. Leave your deets and we'll endeavour to get back to you. Or give us a Twitter or a Twatter or something. A tweet, is it? When you leave a message to our address at Lone Heart Club. We also have a Facebook page, Lone Heart Club, where Sally Mathrick's self-help information fact sheets are available to download at your leisure.
Ooh.
Grace, growing up in rural New South Wales, is Broken Hill the largest town nearby?
Probably along with Cobar. Cobar's about 180 kilometres, and I think Broken Hill was about 280 kilometres.
Grace, you look absolutely wonderful this evening, joining Duncan Jardine, Lucas Dawson and Roger Cunnington, and myself, Richard Silk, four lonely men who met at a men's group. You look fantastic at the moment. Is there a reason? Are you in training for something, are you?
Thank you. I do try to stay healthy all of the time anyway. I'm actually a qualified personal trainer and in mind body medicine.
Wow.
So I love being healthy. Like it's one of my passions, health and fitness and loving life. I think the biggest key is to just love and accept yourself.
How would you describe Roger's physique, bearing that in mind then, as a personal trainer? Where do you think he could improve, if anything?
How does Roger describe his physique?
I think apparently my inner core needs some work, I'm told. But when you say qualified personal trainer, I mean, you know, no disrespect to the industry, but basically anyone who owns a tracksuit and a box of witch's hat would seem to... Is there actually an exam you have to do to be a qualified personal trainer?
There are lots of different courses out there. There's some people that can do it through university. I think my course was 2 16-week courses.
And a series of police checks and you're in. Done.
Yes, no. Good. I think for me, I felt I could train people with more integrity and authenticity because I'd done 4 Ironman triathlons
over
3 or 4 years.
A lot of these personal trainers, a lot of these fitness fanatics, if you don't mind me using the word, they seem to be afraid of carbs. Are you averse to carbs?
Carb-phobic?
Good question.
Will you eat carbs? Will you run a mile from a carb?
Very good question. Because I am actually, and as you mentioned, I do have an event coming up in May. I'm doing an Ironman, the first one that I've done in a few years, actually.
The
China
race?
Ironman.
You're doing the
so,
China?
Which is,
are you talking about the event or the individual?
The event. So a 3.8-kilometre swim, 180-kilometre bike.
How many times do you have to go over the wall and back?
42-kilometre run. No,
sorry,
no,
run,
not going
swim,
over the
bike.
Yep,
and bring democracy to the country. That is a huge.
That's four things.
Four things.
That's four things.
Yes.
Fantastic, Grace. Are you intimidated by the thought of that?
The Ironman, no. Democracy, that might be a little bit more of a challenge.
Side. Okay, all right then.
Perhaps I could free Tibet while I'm there.
Nice.
What are you more afraid of, communism or carbs?
I was about to say that.
When you do the triathlon, you run and then you've swum. Do you change out of your wet togs before you get on the bike or you wear the same thing the whole way?
You actually swim first.
Ah.
And then you bike, and then you run.
Question
so
remains.
After
you
really
swim, you're wet. Okay, you're wet, and you've possibly got sand.
Yes, and you have a wetsuit on.
What,
if you're
so
like
you think
me,
they go into a change
swimmer.
Room
well,
and just take a bit of time and towel off.
Get on a. Have you
sometimes
ever ridden a bike in wet
those.
Bathers with sand?
Sound like fun?
No, it's not. It's grueling.
And you did the Hawaii Ironman. Is that right?
I've done the Hawaii
twice.
That's
the event, not Sunny Garcia.
No, 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 no. She never actually. That never happened. He rang her a couple of times. Apparently, you didn't return his calls.
Right. Grace, we've got a couple of Lonely Hearts Club listeners.
I love talking about love, so this is great.
Great. Well, we've got Charlie. How difficult is it to meet men in the country?
Look, there's heaps of men in the country. It just, the only problem is that most of the decent ones are taken because in high school they all have girlfriends and then after high school they all get married.
Yeah.
So as a 26-year-old coming back up to the country, all the boys my age, unfortunately, are all married and have children.
Right, so you're just left really with dangerous, freakish loners living in a small shack in the forest working on a manifesto.
Something like that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
So you're either going to have to lower your standards or have an affair. And I guess having an affair in a country town never goes that well, does it, Charlie?
Well, it doesn't because you'll be standing at the bar and then his wife will be there.
Grace, what would you advise Charlie as a way of finding love in a Chuka?
So, so your question is really about wanting to meet
a man.
New, wanting to meet.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I moved up here And I guess most of the people my age in Melbourne, especially the guys, have this Peter Pan complex. So they never want to grow up, and they're all partying and going out to music festivals. And
all wearing green tights.
Yeah. So I guess when I moved up here, I thought, you know, time to settle down, grow up a little bit. But, yeah, I'm just finding it really difficult to meet someone because, as I said, all the decent guys are all taken.
It does sound really difficult, and I do actually empathise with you with the Peter Pan complex because I think I do have a husband with the Peter Pan complex. And it's important there that I believe in soulmates as well. I believe we have a few different soulmates, or one or two. And I think sometimes they show up in your life more than once when you are ready for them, when you're at different times, when you have grown more within yourself. And to some people this sounds like a cliche, but to me it doesn't. And to a lot of people it doesn't. When you really get to yourself and really like love and accept who you are and work out that you're not going to take crap from people, basically, and when you stand up for yourself and you say, no, that's not okay, look, I love you and you're amazing, but that behaviour is horrendous.
Yeah.
Sometimes that can work with someone that you've met before or somebody else that you have met. A lot
of it... So you're talking about more like an energy, I guess, you know?
Giving off an energy yourself.
It's a bit hard, though, because I'm a massive fan of myself, but I haven't been able to find love with anyone else.
So this is where the ego comes in. So
yeah, right.
Ego is I am better and more important and is obsessed with comparisons, whereas love is not like that.
No. Charlie, what about an extremely wealthy but somewhat elderly landholder up your way? Do you think that's an option?
Well, beggars can't be choosers.
True.
What about a new interest, like a sport or something
and
like that?
It's interesting you say that. Like, I took up touch when I first moved up here and I met a whole touch football.
I thought you said you bought a 7-inch of Noiseworks.
A good relationship is where you kind of both are able to pursue your heart's desires, not just all your desires, more like your heart's desires, and you're listening to each other and you're listening to what's important to each other.
Mm. Also, Charlie, you might want to get on the internet and check out achukaconnection.com.
Well, it's funny you should say that. When I first moved up here, my friend Claire and I did that exact same thing.
How did that go?
It was quite hilarious because there were some people that we knew from high school that had put themselves up on
it. You know what you got to do? You got to branch out to Swan Hill as well. Yeah.
Charlie, thank you so much. Good luck. Of course, you do mention that the guys in high school do have girlfriends. 16 is the age of consent. Check out year 11 and 12.
Thanks for that, Richard.
Kate in Melbourne, any thoughts on finding love in the bush?
I'm actually calling regarding my friend Kim. She's actually moved from Melbourne up to the bush. She actually met a bloke at a BNS ball, I think, some time ago. And, yeah, it's interesting hearing Charlie, the previous caller, because she said that there's no blokes up in the country.
Yeah. I don't think she said that there was no blokes. I think she was questioning
the calibre.
My friend Kim got invited by a girlfriend of hers to attend a Butte Blokes weekend, and it was organised by
Terry Wood was speaking at that.
Yeah, I think Terry was there.
Yeah, it was organised by a few of the locals.
B&B.
And what they do is they host some of the ladies from the Big Smoke from the city to try and lure them and introduce them to a few of the local lads. And in my friend's case, she was very reluctant because she thought, oh gosh, we're talking about a bunch of probably country hicks here with bull horns on the utes and Southern Cross tattoos on the arms. But she turned out to be
Shannon Knoll.
Pretty much.
But how did it go, Kate?
Went very, very well. So so much so that she ended up meeting a gentleman who 6 months later she sold her apartment in the city here.
What a lovely story.
Also shortly thereafter ended up getting away into Vegas. So now that they're there settled, they're hanging for a family, but it's just the most beautiful story, and this coming from a girl who I can tell you now had given up. She was 30 and she thought, I don't like any of the men here in Melbourne, it's ridiculous, and we said, well, go. You never know who you're going to meet. And he's a little bit older, but he's beautiful.
He does have a good heart.
Yeah, there's obviously a fine line between a romantic blossoming and a ute muster. And I think we've found a dead right. Kate, I'm going to call you on this, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but your friend Kim, there is no Kim, it's you, isn't it?
No.
Kate, it is.
You were at the Butte Blokes night.
Just come clean.
Not at all. No, no, no. I've been happily married actually for 5 years. So, it's not me. It is my friend Kim. And, to give some of the lovely ladies some hope out there and not to give up. So,
thanks, Kim. I mean, Kate. Thanks, thanks so much, all our lovely Lonely Hearts Club listeners.
They're great callers.
They were great callers. Notice that Duncan's jotted down Charlie's number. And, it's got his.
I was wondering what
he's Melways out.
I would consider myself a Butte bloke.
I reckon it's a 6.5 hour drive, I'm afraid. Duncan, are you up to it?
Oh, look, I think I've got to go up that way to shoot some country scenes for City Homicide.
Wow.
Borny had the binoculars out in the episode there. Oh, I've got to go and shoot what he's looking at.
Mm. Wow. Deciduous trees, is it? Or
It's all evergreens in this series. It's a very strict policy on that at 7.
Grace McClure, always a delight to see you. Good luck for the triathlon in Busselton, is it?
Oh, I am doing one in Busselton as well. But, yes, China. Thank you, and China.
Wow.
Busselton, the home of the longest pier in Australia.
Do you know they swim around that for the full Ironman?
Can't wait for that one. Grace, all the best. Thank you again, and we'll see you on the other side. And, of course, if you do need anyone to provide drinks or post race rub, Lucas Dawson.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm a dancer and a choreographer and a shiatsu expert. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, my manager's trying to work on getting me on Dancing with the Stars, so perhaps you can just suss out some choreography and some practice.
I've actually done some choreography for them, and I might be able to sort you out because I saw you on the boat show, and I was confused. What was the actual main topic of the boat show?
I think it was cars.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you think?
It's pretty novel. It's a pretty novel name. I imagine the brainstorming session as they were sitting around the table going, what are we going to call this show? In Deep? Nah. We'll go with the
lovely,
boat
lovely show with Glenn Ridge it was.
But you leave it with me, Grace, and I might be able to sort you out there.
Glenn Ridge, wonderful singer. Right now it's time to hear from 1961's Jay-Z and Beyonce Knowles. From 1961, Ray Charles and Betty Carter with Baby, It's Cold Outside. Wonderful, wonderful performers, Ray and Betty. Mm. There's a post office named after Ray Charles. It was decreed by President George Bush, who signed it into law at 4960 West Washington Boulevard in Los Angeles. It's the Ray Charles Post Office Building.
Fascinating.
Would that be the ultimate accolade? I guess to have a post office named after you and a mass shooting take place there would probably lift you up one.
Cement.
Just in honour.
Yeah.
Mm. Of course, no truth to the rumours that he was banned from playing in Georgia. Do you remember that at one stage? Banned from entering the state. That something like that happened to Terry Wood after one of his speaking engagements in Northern Territory, where he took to task the actual statement from Little Things, Big Things Grow. He actually proved that it didn't.
Is Terry Wood back with us next week?
He is.
I've missed him, I have to say.
Yes, Terry Wood's back in the club.
I guess Roger wouldn't have heard that Terry, since the retreat, he's doing quite well. He's in a relationship with Wendy Turnbull.
Is that right?
Yeah. Came out on the show.
Yes.
Excellent. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, at least one of us have kicked on since, for all the self-help measures and the,
trust exercises.
And positive visualization, yoga.
Hours in the tank.
I don't give it long. I'll be honest. Yeah. I don't give it long.
No, but hey, look, he's broken the ice, so to speak.
Yeah.
That's exciting. That's great.
Mm. Turnbull loves it.
The rabbit.
Loves it.
The rabbit.
Look forward to hearing more of Wendy Turnbull next week with Terry Wood back in the club. Speaking of next week, Lucas Dawson, no doubt you're up to some fabulous adventures in the world of dance.
I am. I'm off to Port Augusta in South Australia.
What's that about?
I'm going to Patka's production, the Port Augusta Theatre Company's production of No West for the Wicked.
Wow.
Sort of a comedic take.
With Rhonda Birchmore in the lead role?
The leggy Rhonda actually has been usurped by the leggy Jackie Love.
Oh, wow.
So they needed someone leggy because they've got, songs from Annie Get Your Gun, Paint Your Wagon and Sting's Ten Summoner's Tales.
Right, so it's a real jukebox sort of feel.
I think, again, they just couldn't afford the rights to those musicals, so they're basically just, it's a pastiche.
It's the next Mamma Mia.
Tickets available?
Tickets are going to be available for many years to come for that show, I can tell you right now. But I actually have a date on after the show.
Oh, what's happening?
It's been organised. I didn't actually choreo this, but the choreographer for this person and I have been set up.
Is Port Augusta where they have fishing?
They do have fishing.
Do. Yes, is he a fisherman?
Well, look, we'll both be angling for love on that night, I can tell you. But one thing I wanted to ask you guys.
What bait will you use?
Yes, it's just a drink. Now, the problem with drinks these days, they're all so sexual. They're also suggestive. There's your sex on the beach.
That's right.
You're something sucking cowboy. Your slippery nipple. Your quick, what's it?
Fluffy duck.
Your fluffy duck. What is a drink that I can order that won't be so suggestive?
A light beer?
Yeah, but the problem is with beer, the blue tongue.
Too heavy.
Blue tongue.
A 10-ounce light shandy.
Ah, but
what? Says that you're willing to play, but you're responsible.
And how many parts lemonade is in that?
I think it's a 1 to 3.
1 to 3.
I think it's one part lemonade, two parts Rohypnol.
Okay, well, that won't be too suggestive.
No.
No, there won't be anything.
Thanks, guys.
Well, give a shout-out to Dean Lucan. See if you can spot your pincers
DL,
on him.
DL, is he Port Augusta?
Port Augusta boy,
local?
Oh yeah.
Oh, is he really?
A big weightlifter from Port Augusta.
And running a fashion business these days.
Okay.
But his family doing very well in the fish trade. And will you bring us back a leather jacket?
I will bring you back a leather jacket and think a flathead.
Great.
It is a blind date, so I don't know what he's going to look like.
Good luck. Good luck. Roger, what about your week? No doubt you'll be tinkering in your garage in Geelong.
Yes, a lot of tinkering does go on there sort of early hours of the morning. In fact, I'll head straight home from the studio here and have something up on the bench within half an hour or so, and just a lot of sprockets and Allen key action.
Yeah, that's the best time to work.
It is,
night.
I find. It's when I get I get the least interruptions, whereas during the day, actually, I get no interruptions then either. They're pretty quiet. No one.
And as we talked about earlier, for anyone who wants to have an invention, the idea is you come up with it, you patent it immediately. That's the most important thing.
You've got to get onto it. Before you know it, you know, it was like, I don't know whether you know the story of my pimple and blemish remover, which was based on liquid paper.
Right.
It was liquid paper. But it's just, they got in first.
Right, okay.
Skin
and it doesn't really matter if it works or if it's safe, the important thing is to patent it.
That's the one, and a good name in your home host.
Great. Wow. Well, look, if you don't get any calls or contact with anyone this week, Rog, I know that Duncan Jardine happily have you along to swing a boom for his shoot that he's got coming up this week.
We've got a couple of shoots this week. I'm doing second unit on a show that many have described as ill-advised. Yasmin's getting married again.
Oh, no.
And then here's an interesting one. Kevin Bloody Wilson is going up market. He's doing a sitcom for the ABC.
In widescreen.
He's teaming up with Marie Carty for Rooted.
Wow.
And, looking forward to that.
Gosh. Well, keep an eye out on our Twitter page, at Lone Heart Club. Maybe Duncan Jardine will post the whereabouts location during the week.
We're always looking for off-the-books extras.
Great. Lucas, we hope you've had a great night this evening and wish you all the best with those men in gumboots.
Luck be a lady tonight.
And Roger, all the best with the trip home to...
Good to see you, Roger.
Thank you.
And see if you can think about changing that string singlet before you get home. It does get a bit crisp around 3 a.m. in Geelong, especially that wind off Corio Bay. I must thank our wonderful guests this evening, Grace McClure, of course, Paul Gail Baker came in also, and our naturopath to the stars, Sally Mathrick, and of course you, the Lonely Hearts Club listeners. And we'll be back same time next week, 10 p.m. on Saturday nights here on ABC Radio National. This was our 5th episode in 8. We've got 3 more to go if my maths doesn't fail me. My name's Richard Smooth as Silk. And as we say here at the Lonely Hearts Club, may all your love be free of cost. Right now, it's Trevor Chappell.